Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to our program Tryst with Divinity, offering you conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. And today, our guest in the studios of Radio Sai is a very senior and very honored couple of the Sai family. They are from Australia, Mr. Arthur and Mrs. Poppy Hillcott. Arthur has been coming to Swami for more than 3 decades and he has held various important offices in the Sai organization. In 1983, Baba appointed him as the chairman of the first Sai organization in Queensland, Australia. Later, in 1986, Swami selected him to be the chairman of the Central Council in Australia. In 1990, he became the central coordinator for the Sai organizations in New Zealand, Fiji and Pacific Islands. After he had served in this position for several years, crisscrossing the continents, giving talks and organizing various Sai activities, in 2004, Swami appointed him as the senior advisor to the Prashanti Council, the body which oversees the activities of the International Sai Organization. Besides this, for several years, he was the chairman of the Christmas Committee which organizes the celebration of Christmas in Prashanti Nilayam. Today, December 27, 2011, and he is again in Prashanti Nilayam to celebrate his Christmas with Swami. Professionally, Arthur is a management consultant, and Arthur and Poppy, as I mentioned before, are a much loved and honored couple in the Sai family, and we are extremely happy and privileged to have them in the studios of Radio Sai. A warm welcome to you, Arthur and Poppy Hillcott. So before I proceed into the conversation proper about your journey to Swami and about the Sai organization's growth in Australia, I would like to share with all the listeners how Swami always loved to call you as his lion. And thanks to your majestic personality and, of course, your free-flowing beard, it fascinated Swami so much and everyone. I think you stand out in Swami's family of devotees. How did it feel whenever Swami called you as his lion?
Well, it was a surprise. But, of course, I felt that Swami knew what he was doing. He really hasn't gone anywhere. The body has been placed aside. And as I mentioned the other day, it gives us the opportunity to relate to the formless God, that we're not badgering Swami, looking for things and wanting answers to things. We must deal with the formless God for that now. And to me, that's very important.
So Christmas this year, was it a different feeling for you than the previous years?
Yes, it certainly was different. And it's changed over the years. And of course, this year was a big change. But we hadn't been for a couple of years for several reasons. When we came this time, we weren't quite sure just what was happening and when it would happen. But it fell into place very easily. And we both were very fortunate, very blessed to be able to sit fairly close to the Samadhi. And, you know, there was a time, and I used to do it myself, was to see how quickly you could get to the veranda to sit up front. And there'd be pushing and shoving and so forth. That doesn't happen now. And to go up there quietly and sit and listen to the Vedas and then to the bhajans, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, you're peaceful within. It's marvelous.
You experience Swami from within, now,
yes,
more than ever.
Yes, of course. You see, we have to make effort in our lives, help to understand what all this is about.
And that is exactly what you mentioned in the talk you gave this year during the Christmas.
Yes.
And
yeah,
it was so profound. Everyone was so glued to listening to your talk because it was very, very impactful. It was very profound.
You see, like I mentioned at that time, I went through many difficulties in life. Sometimes would get fed up and I'd look up and say, Lord, why me? Why me again? And it was as if the Lord was saying, why not you? And here's some more for you. So I needed to ask other questions. But I suffered a lot. And when you suffer, you get round to changing what you ask. So you don't say, why me? And then you say, what's all this about? What's life about? Why is there suffering? Why do some people suffer more than others? Who am I? Who am I really? And when you start looking for the truth, God takes you by the hand.
Yes.
And Swami did that. Right from the very beginning of coming here in 79, he put me through quite a lot.
Yeah. So tell us, how did that happen? How did you come to know of Swami in 1979?
Well, in my search, I was listening to a man that came from America, bringing the East and West together. And he just dropped a one-liner. He said, you should get the book, Sai Baba, the Holy Man, the Psychiatrist. Nothing else, that was all that was said.
This quest for truth, was it there from childhood or it happened later?
No, that happened fairly early in life. But when I listened to him and then I went out and I thought, well, I must get that book one day. But it didn't happen. Every time I'd see it, I must get it one day. But on this occasion, I didn't do that until he came back 2 years later. And there was a lady there, and she said, Arthur, I have a friend who is a bookseller, and he's in financial difficulties, and I bought a lot of books off him just to help him out. But there's one book there that's shouting at me that I must give it to you. And of course, you know what it was. It was Sai Baba, the Holy Man, the Psychiatrist. And then I read that book, and all I wanted to do was be in India. Not to question and find out whether Sai Baba was real or what he was. I just wanted to be here with him.
You just believed in him. You read the book and you...
Totally. Totally. And I came here. And I didn't know how I could respond to him if he spoke to me. And so, as he walked round in the sand, and back in those days there might only have been half a line, but if there's more, if you were in the back row, you were the one behind the front line. As he would come out and walk around, I'd watch him coming, but then I'd drop my eyes, because in case he should talk to me.
You didn't know what to say?
No. It was too big for me. I felt the enormity of the situation. I'd watch him walk by, watch his feet go by. And then after he'd gone by, I'd look up and watch him walking further. But on the third day, when I did that, and he walked by, and then I looked up. And as soon as I looked up, he turned round and said, where are you from?
Oh.
It was so easy just to answer.
Yeah, it was an easy question than what you had expected.
Yes, so I said, from Australia, Swami. And actually speaking, because of culture shock and everything at that time, I guess I was feeling that. And I would say on the third day, I said quietly to myself, Swami, please send me home. I've had enough.
You were finding it difficult to adjust to the place, or the experience of being with Swami was too enormous?
No, it was just that I felt quite out of place.
In India?
In India. There's a lot of Indians live here. However, I did that, and I also became very ill after a while. In the finish, I got medicine, but that seemed to make it worse.
In Australia, after you returned from India, or in India?
It was here.
In India. Right.
And
it was very difficult for your body to adjust to the new environment.
Yes, yeah. But I think I was being worked on at the same time.
Mm.
But anyway, eventually Swami sent a doctor, a visiting doctor, sent him to see me. And he came in and he gave me some vibhuti, and then he gave me just the wildest treatment I'd ever had. Little paper bags and taking things out and a sip out of a bottle. And he said, "Don't worry, Swami has sent me. We'll have you right by his birthday."
Okay.
That was 4 days away. He came back at night again, and the next day I had a shower, which was wonderful. But I'd lost a lot of weight. I think something like, at the time, 6 or 7 stone. And I was a bit like a broomstick.
And so at that time you had come alone?
Yes. Mm. So I recovered quickly once that man treated me.
Mm.
And I was up into the Purnachandra for Swami's birthday. So that was the start of it. And when I left to go to Bangalore to go home, Swami came the same day. So I went out there to see him. And I had a couple of complaints at the time, but he called me in for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, "Don't worry, everything will pass. It'll be all right." And I wanted to ask about my son with his studies, but I couldn't get it out, because the enormity of the love that was coming from him, I just had tears. I couldn't talk, but he answered the question I was thinking about anyway.
Without you even asking the question.
Yes, yes, that's right. He said, "He will do all right. I'm looking after him." And it was marvelous. It certainly worked out. He was looking after him.
So that is how it all started.
That was how it all started, yes. But I still was pushing for the truth. And I worked for the organization. When I retired, then I went further up the ladder, so to speak. But there's been nothing greater in our life. And the fact that we go round the world now speaking in different countries, we only go when we're invited. And Swami had said to us, "You get invitations now to go round. Don't come asking me. Just go."
Just go.
And he said, "Don't talk about me. Talk about the teachings." That also helped me to find the truth.
To another gentleman too, Swami had told, "You don't have to tell people about me. You tell them about my work.
Yes.
I will tell them about myself."
Yes.
He reserves that for himself.
Yes.
Mm.
So, you know, going around the world, you find so many beautiful people everywhere. And people who need to ask questions. Certainly one country we went to had just gone through war, and they were full of questions for about 9 hours.
9 hours? You had a question and answer session.
Yes, and... But, you know, they'd been through so much.
Yes.
They really wanted to know what it was about and what, as much as I could give about Swami at that time.
Where is this country?
In Europe.
Europe.
Yes.
So after the initial visit to Swami, you kept coming often?
Yes. Matter of fact, we've just come back from New Mexico, California. Go to New Zealand probably in February.
Mm.
And then there's Australia as well.
Wow. You're busy going around the world spreading his love.
It's a good job.
There is no,
the most exciting job.
And what a blessing it is to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we want to go back to your journey to Swami a bit more.
Yes.
You talked about your first visit to Swami. We want to know about your subsequent visits and how was it when you came the second time and third time. How did the relationship with Swami build up, and then slowly he asked you to start the Sai organization in Australia? How did all that happen?
Well, for a start, at the first visit, everything was not so marvelous with the food. That's all. It was very, very hot those days.
Yes.
Yeah. But we got through that. But the agent said to me, well, we'll see you again, Mr. Hillcone.
Mm.
And I said, no, I'll never be back to India again.
Oh.
But Swami would have been laughing about it.
Yes.
But, of course, we came back then, and we've continued coming back every year, sometimes twice a year.
Most times twice a year, sometimes three times.
Yes.
Three times.
Yeah. Mm. So it built up. The first interview at the time, Swami said to me, how are you feeling?
Mm.
I said, fairly well, Swami. But I wasn't the best.
Mm.
And he said, I'll give you something for your benefit, for your health.
Oh, he started
and
waving he material, his hand.
Materialized the Rudraksha.
Rudraksha?
Yes.
Wow.
A five-faced Rudraksha.
You still have it?
Yes, it's still here.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was very interesting because he gave me that, and if I can just jump ahead a little, he gave me this ring.
Wow, Om there, golden Om.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Later on, I had a wedding ring on this finger.
Okay.
And when he put it on, he could only put the ring there.
Oh, it didn't fit in, go inside. Okay.
So I said to Poppy, you know, Swami wants that ring on here.
Hmm.
Well, they put the wedding ring, she'd put it over here.
Okay.
So that was all right. Later, I come back and Swami's looking at my hand and he materialized another ring, put it on this finger, but it couldn't get it on because this ring was there then, you see.
The wedding ring.
No, the wedding
ring. Yeah.
The wedding ring was there.
Yes.
Mm.
And so I said to Poppy, oh, I think this wedding ring has to go.
Oh, my God.
And so I took it off and put the other ring there.
Swami's created a beautiful one.
And then I had that at home, and 6 months later, when I was coming back again, I heard a tinkle, and I had a look, and the ring was gone.
Oh.
So I looked everywhere for it, the floor, and no sign of it. And so when I came back, I said to Swami, the ring is gone, Swami. And he grabbed my hand and he said, I know, I know, I know. He'd taken it, you see.
Mm.
And he said, never mind. Later, I'll give you another one.
Okay.
A diamond.
Wow.
And I think it was 18 months later. And he was talking to Poppy and he had this ring.
Wow.
And he put that on.
Mm.
And he said, whenever you need Swamiji, I will be there.
Yes. What an assurance.
Yeah. And he's been there ever since.
He's there everywhere. He's there in around your head. He's there in both the hands. Fantastic.
So, Swami does actually appear in the ring.
He does appear?
In different ways. Sometimes full on, sometimes on the side. Sometimes
you see Swami in the ring?
Yes.
Sometimes Swami is there. Sometimes he's there.
Blessing.
Blessing.
Yes.
Oh, so you have visions of Swami in the ring.
Mm.
Yes, and it has to be just right.
Other people also can see.
Yeah.
I'll show you after.
Oh, yeah, it would be my privilege. Amazing. So tell us more about your interactions with Swami. The way he played with you, the way he guided you on your spiritual path.
Yes, well, he did humorous things at times.
Yes. He loved you so much, so he would really love to joke and have fun with you.
Yeah, he used to call me, and he used to get lions.
Yes.
And I'd go up to him, you see. But this time he didn't do that. He was talking to the students inside the mandir.
Mm.
And he stepped outside where they couldn't see him. So he didn't call out. Mm. He just went, come.
Oh.
And
just indicated to you.
So I went up to Swami and I said, yes, Swami. He said, oh, the boys just want to see you. I said, see me? He said, yes, they want to see you, really. You go on in.
Mm.
So I went in and then there was a big roar from the students.
Oh.
So I knew Swami had been up to mischief. And but you're with him. Nothing matters, see?
Yes.
But I saw one of the students later, and I said, listen, what was all that noise about when I came in? Oh, he said, Swami was teasing us.
Mm.
What do you mean, teasing you? Oh, he said, he pulled up his sleeve and started to move his hand and said, would you like to see a lion? And oh, they said, yes, Swami, yes, Swami. So he called me. So, you know, and it's all love. And all these things are not as they seem. Just,
I mean, it's
some humor.
So wonderful to see Swami, you know, really play with us, just like one of us.
Yes, that's right. That's for our benefit.
Yes.
Every bit
of God comes down in human form, that is when you have the opportunity to see these such beautiful facets of the divine.
Yeah. Oh, it's
lovely. But I think most importantly too is the times that he, shall I say, saved this body.
Yes. Oh.
Once at home I had a series of pancreas attacks. But the first one I said to I was in hospital and getting injections for the pain, and while I was awake and waiting for the next needle, I said, Swami, you told me you'd always be with me and you'd always take care of me, and now that's all I've got. And the doctor that had been with me most of the night came, and he brought a visiting physician with him, and he spoke openly, you know, the other doctor, and he said, I don't understand what's happening. I was getting ready to do an exploratory operation to find out what was happening, but he said, now he's getting better.
Hmm.
And the surgeon came across, or the physician, and he said, Mr. Hillcoat, it seems that you're a bit of a mystery. You any idea at all why you're getting better? Well, you know, you just couldn't tell him.
Mm.
So I just said, will you accept prayer? Oh, yes, of course. Then he walked off.
So when did this happen?
That was in 1983.
Okay.
It came on. I was at the conference in Canberra. When Indula Shah was there. Yeah, so then I certainly got better. After that was 1984, back in with it again. And about 6 years in a row I was in hospital with it. And the doctors were saying, now, you'll get worse and you'll have to spend more time in hospital. And
so you were in and out of the hospital for 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was the same problem.
The same problem,
yes. They eventually found out that it was pancreatitis. but they couldn't find out why it was happening. And even one doctor said, we're going to take your gallbladder out. And I said, will that fix it up? And he said, we're not sure. It's a good shot, though. Mm. But we never went back. But what I'm getting around to is the fact that the worst attack I had was in Fiji. And then they got me back to Australia and in hospital there. The worst attack. However, it was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen anymore. I didn't have to go to hospital again or anything.
Mm.
So you see, I had to go through those things first. And that was that. But the other one in particular was that I'd had a hernia. And when I got here on this particular time, I'd had it for 10 years. When I got here, I had to sit on the ground, and I had a group of about 32 or so at that time, and giving out keys for them for the rooms,
mm-hmm.
and then they got me upstairs. So it was not good. The doctor was telling me, you know, this is not good. I'm worried about you. It was an Australian doctor. And he said, you've got a strangulation,
mm-hmm.
and by this time you'll be in risking
gangrene.
Yeah, gangrene. And so he said, I want you to stay on your bed, don't go up to Darshan.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened, but then after another 3 days it was getting worse. And so I asked Howard Murfitt, I said, when Swami comes out in the morning, ask him if I should go to Bangalore for an operation. And when he came back, he said, that's the loveliest time I've ever had with Swami.
Mm.
He held my hand and he was like the mother. And he said, I know. This pus. So he said, have him brought up in a wheelchair this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and which they did, and it took a Chinese group in, or sent them in, and then he turned around and beckoned for me to come forward. And at that time, he hit me. You don't know what was happening at that time. But then I went in, he helped me out of the chair,
mm.
and I went in and slid down the wall.
Mm.
And as soon as he came in, he said, you've got pain. And being a big Australian, you know, I said, it's all right, Swami. And he said, you've got pain. And I said, yes, Swami. So away went his hand. He materialized 3 long white tablets. And he said, take one now. No water.
mm.
But I got it down all right.
Mm.
Then he rolled the other 2 up in tissue paper and put in my pocket, like I was a little boy and might lose them. And he said, one tonight, one tomorrow morning. I said, yes, Swami. So he talked to the Chinese group then. But after some time, he looked at me, he said, come. We went into the private room. And he spun me round and sort of pinned me to the wall where no one could see me. And he said to me, a very bad hernia. I said, yes, Swami. And away went his hand again. And when he flicked it over, it was covered in a yellow fluid like oil.
Oh.
And he massaged that in. Matter of fact, I'd lifted up my shirt and that, and he said, and I undid the cords, and he said, right down. Then he massaged that into the hernia. Then he went to get a cloth to wipe his hand. While he was doing that, I pulled the trousers up, tied the cords, and dropped the shirt down. And Swami came back, but he came back as the mother. That's a bit hard to talk about. But he said, yes, now you can go to Bangalore, just have a small operation. And I said, yes, Swami. And I thought, I'm not going to be here for Christmas, because this was the 18th. And the next day was the 19th. And as quick as I thought that, he said, it's all right, you'll be back before Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah. He knows her. He knows the lot.
He knows our yes. thoughts all the time.
And so he told me, don't worry about anything. I will make all the arrangements. Everything will be all right. And so Kutumba Rao was there then.
Kutumba Rao.
Yes.
Yes.
He came up. No, two doctors came first. And Swami's a stickler for a protocol. The doctors have a role to play. And so he sent two doctors up to see what was wrong with me. And then they had to go back and report to him. And so that was done, and then the secretary came up, and he said, all arrangements are made. There'll be a car here at 6 o'clock in the morning. And there was a friend there talking to us, and he said, you'll go with him. So I said, the ladies were going to go with me. No, he said, they're safer here. He will go with you. And he won't be there long. So they took me in there. And it was different, because it was as if I was making the arrangements for somebody else. There was no concern about it. It was a sort of a little, what would I say, old operating theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So the operation took place. But when I spoke to the surgeon about it, I said, what sort of anaesthetic are you be using? And he said, oh, several ones, what would you like? And I sort of don't much about them, but the last one I had was in the back of the hand. All right, he said, we'll use them. And I said, will you be putting a support in so that it doesn't happen again? Oh, yes, everything will be done right. So I said, well, my friend here, is there somewhere nearby that he can get food? He said, I've been told you must be cared for. My wife will do the cooking and send it to the hospital.
Hmm.
Marvelous. You see, Swami did everything.
Everything.
After 3 days, or on the third day, the surgeon came back to see me. And he said, how are you feeling? I said, I'm very well, thank you. And I'm ready to go. What? He said, you can't go. And I said, but the car's out there waiting for me. He said, I can't help that. You can't go. It's too soon. Anyway, I'll take the dressing off and check it out while I'm here. So he took the dressing off and he stood there looking at it. And then he said, yes, you can go. And so I had a look and it was healed. So you see, he does everything. And not only that, the devotee doctor came back with us. And he went and stood at the double gates, and he insisted the car come in down the men's side in the Ganesh gate. And so, as quick as the car stopped, I see Swami come out in the veranda and look across.
How beautiful.
Yes, and he wandered over quietly and then asked the doctor for his report. You know, was it successful?
He's the one orchestrating everything.
Yeah, yes. And then he came up the lane to the car and leaned in there to me. And he said, how are you feeling? And I said, very well, thank you, Swami. And he said, oh, very happy, very happy. But in your country, you'd have been in hospital 10 to 15 days for that operation.
Hmm.
And I said, yes, Swami. And then the car drove me to the roundhouse. and I walked upstairs.
You walked upstairs?
Yes, of course. No trouble at all. And I rested the next day. But the following day, I was over into the Western Canteen to have Christmas dinner with Jack Hislop and Howard Murphitt.
That is Swami. He had told you you will be back for Christmas, and you're back.
Yeah, I was back.
And hearty.
But he was telling the group, it's all right, he's okay. Operation successful. But it was the day before the operation.
He just wanted you to go through it, that's it.
Yes, yeah, so it was wonderful.
So when did this happen?
Do you remember 1987. Yes. And the following day I was up at Darshan.
Marvelous.
Sai Ram, you just heard the first part of the conversation with author and Poppy Hillcott, a very senior and honored Sai couple from Australia. Baba appointed author as the chairman of the first Sai organization in Queensland, Australia, way back in 1983. Since then, he has held various important positions in the Sai organization, and from the year 2004, he has been serving as a senior advisor to the Prashanti Council, the body which oversees the activities of the International Sai Organization. In today's episode of Tryst with Divinity, author and Poppy shared how their journey to Bhagwan began in the early 80s and how the Lord has been mercifully guiding and protecting them even as they continue to do His work. In the next part, author and Poppy share more about how they have felt His love and grace in different and especially trying situations of their life, and also how they had the opportunity to meet many spiritual masters in their quest for a spiritual and fulfilling life. This conversation was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai in the month of December 2011, just a couple of days after Christmas. In conversation with author and Poppy was Radio Sai's Bishop Rushdie. We hope you enjoyed this program. If you have any suggestions or comments, please feel free to write to us to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you, and Sai Ram from Prashanthinilayam.